plead guilty in court to the murder of Dan Jevons. Go public with the admission of your guilt. If you fail to do either of the above, you will never see your daughter Liberty again. This is not a bluff. Callie Rose Hadley, you will do the following within the next 24 hours. Remove the super injunction forbidding the press from reporting on Tobias Durbridge and his forthcoming court case. Remove yourself as Tobias's lawyer. If you fail to do either of the above, you will receive your brother Troy back in pieces. This is not a bluff.
So many unanswered questions. I reread the text message forwarded to me by Callie, who had received it from Seffi, her mother. A man, who claimed to be working on behalf of Dan Jevons, had called Seffi using her son Troy's mobile phone to state his list of demands. He had followed this up in writing. Working on behalf of Dan Jevons. There was just one problem with that. Dan was dead. He'd been murdered, and I was on the hook for it. Someone out there was desperate to see me spend the rest of my natural existence rotting in prison. On behalf of Dan Jevons. What did that even mean? Had someone from within the outfit decided to branch out for themselves, and this was a way of proving their worth? Or were they doing it to avenge Dan's death? Maybe this whole thing had been orchestrated by Owen Dowd, head of a rival setup, in an attempt to cause real problems for the opposition. Whoever it was who'd spoken to Seffi had backed up his verbal threat with this text message spelling out all the kidnapper's demands. And now Troy's phone was untraceable. On my instructions, my personal executive assistant, Jade Habari, had already tried to find out the location of Libby's and Troy's phones, but they'd been switched off, or smashed. The last recorded location of both was Heathcroft High School, the last place they were seen. No help there then. Where was my daughter? Had her kidnappers tied her up? Were they looking after her as the goose that was about to lay them a golden egg? Or were they abusing her? Perhaps they'd already got rid of her. Dark thoughts were knitting my insides together. I read the text message for the umpteenth time. Plead guilty in court to the murder of Dan Jevons. None of the kidnappers' demands had been met. In court yesterday, I had entered a plea of not guilty. Callie hadn't recused herself as my lawyer, nor had she removed the super injunction. In their text, they referred to themselves as we, so I had to work on the assumption that there was more than one. Now I stood at my bedroom window in the dark. A black hole was opening in my gut and trying to suck me into it. I was officially, if covertly due to the press injunction my blackmailers clearly knew about, on trial for Dan's murder. I confess, a large part of me had thought the case would be thrown out by Judge Okafor on the grounds of insufficient evidence, or because I am now PM. Ha! No such luck. I was in the fight of my life, not just for my political career, but my freedom, my liberty. There was a very real chance that after this trial, I'd never look up at the sky from outside prison walls again. I'd pleaded not guilty, rationalising that it was the best way to try and keep my daughter alive. If I immediately gave in to the kidnapper's demands, what reason would they have to keep her in good health, knowing that if she was freed, she could identify them? Pleading my innocence in court meant that her abductors had to keep her around to try to coerce me into doing what they wanted. At least that had been my frenetic thinking. I was doing this for my daughter. But was I really? Liberty. If anything happened to her because of me. I hated this. Patience was not one of my virtues. Having refused to submit to the kidnapper's demands, Callie and I now had to wait for them to make the next move. But I was no good at waiting for the ball to be batted back to me. It was time to set wheels in motion.